Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. I'm glad to have you on the show today. I've got David Webb on, who is a real estate guy. He's also a no money real estate guy. So for those of you that are sitting there in your little cubicle all alone, or that business owner who's finishing up their day right now and is completely burned out and you don't think you can invest in real estate, David's going to tell you different on that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. David, welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on today. I'm really excited to have this conversation. I know, you know, growing up when I first got into real estate years ago, it was the Carlton Sheets world and Dave Deldato and all those guys that were talking about no money down. And then it kind of died off for a while. And hopefully it's coming back a little bit as long as you do it responsibly. So why don't you tell us your story? How did you get to where you're at today?
I got where I'm at today through a lot of evictions and a lot, which is true. I was evicted over 15 times. You know, a lot of struggle, a lot of learning what not to do. And, yeah. You know, I think it's quoted to credited to Edison said, you know, I've never failed. I just learned 10,000 ways that didn't work. And that's so, exactly, you know, right. Yep. That's what I'm doing now, helping people avoid any of those 10,000. So, so I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I've been out to California. I'm now in Oklahoma, and you know, I go by, you know, the no money millionaire because I teach people how to buy real estate without having to use any of their own capital.
Yeah. Cool. So what you know, you went through the eviction stuff, you went out, you traveled around. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in real estate and how you had some success with it.
You know, I'm from the inner city of Detroit. I went to Detroit public school system. And so I grew up with a single mother on welfare. And I wasn't taught anything about real estate. Matter of fact, I don't even think I knew anyone who owned a home. And so, you know, in Michigan or in Detroit or in that income class, you're not taught about passive income. Matter of fact, you know, instead of being taught how to have your money work hard for you, you're taught the opposite. We are ingrained with, you have to work hard for your money. And so, you know, my first two real estate deals were both no money deals, but I didn't grasp it. I still didn't know what I had done to be able to then continue doing it. So I was still stuck under the belief that I had to have a certain amount of a down payment. I had to have my credit right. I had to have, you know, all my taxes in order before I could buy real estate. And so I went another, you know, 10 years or more after already doing two no money deals, but couldn't break my mindset. I couldn't break the beliefs that I had been strapped down with that I need these certain pieces, even after doing two of them. And so it took me another 10 years before it all came together. But in that time, I had just invested in stuff, didn't know what I was doing, you know, making mistakes, losing money, until, you know, I finally learned how this is done using other people's money.
So what was that? What was that transition that, you know, when did the light bulb come on for you?
You know, I had purchased a property. I went in, I had partnered with somebody, brought them in for their capital, and I had an apartment building. And this was, you know, this was only about 5-6 years ago. And there was another building that came available. It was right down the street. And so, you know, I self-managed all my units. And I saw that, and I was full. So the one apartment building that I had gotten with the partner, it was full, and I was turning people away. And so I saw this other apartment building come available within blocks away, and I wanted it badly, but I didn't have any capital.
Yep.
And so that's when the wheels started turning, because, you know, one thing that I have been that's aided me throughout this course of mine was determination. And I was determined. I wanted that property, and I just had to figure out how to get it. And that's when I started reaching outside of my normal box and started approaching people and talking to them. And that's when I put my first structure of utilizing OPM, and I purchased that apartment building with absolutely not a dollar of my money.
That's awesome. Was it an apartment complex that was in decent condition, or did you have to do some rehab to kind of get it to where you could increase the rents and everything?
You know, that's all I look for is value add properties. Okay. Because I do my own renovations as well. And I know that that's where you can really increase the value of what you have. And so everything I look for is really value add potential.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, that for a lot of people in the audience, that sounds immediately scary of, well, you know, how do I find people? Where am I going to find people that have money for this? I don't know anybody that has money like this kind of money, you know, to buy an apartment complex or something. Where, you know, what got you out of your bubble and started to get you there? Because you didn't come from that world of where you knew tons of people that had money.
No, and I still wasn't in that world. I, my determination, and really I wanted that building so badly. I sat one day and, you know, my wife will say that I didn't sleep for a few days, because I was just trying to figure it out. I wanted it so badly, and I was just trying to figure it out. And, you know, I watched courses, you know, of other people that I admire, and I heard them talking about what they're doing, and I just didn't know. And finally I knew the banker. And I asked him, what's it going to take for me to get this property? And he told me what I needed. And so then that set me on the path to get the other pieces that I needed to get the bank to work with me on it. And now I help people that aren't able to go to the banks, and I still, you know, help people do that. But the position I was in by this point in my life, I was able to. And so I said, what's it going to take for me to get this? And he said, all right, well, you need this and this and this. And so I didn't know people with money. And I thought I didn't know people with money. They weren't in my immediate circle. They weren't my family. Sure. It wasn't anything like that. The one person that I reached out to, so I sat and I figured after I knew what I needed, I said, okay. And so I found three people that I thought I could ask. One was the person who had previously owned my home that I had, the home I was living in. He was a previous homeowner that I spoke to just a couple times about the house or whatnot. I didn't really know him on a friend basis. And another person owned a convenience store in an area that I used to stop in, and I chatted it up with the guy, and that was it. And then one other was a person that was a contractor that I had met since I moved to town. And we hadn't done work together, but we were cordial. We knew each other. And I sat and sent a text out to those three people. And I sent a text and said, I'm looking at getting this property. Would you be interested in hearing more about investing in it with me? And I sat there as nervous as I could be. I didn't know what was coming. I really didn't. I'm like, oh. And then the text came in, you know, and all three of them said they were interested, but I ended up working with one of them.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the perfect story of, you didn't go to like a real estate meetup and talk to all these people that were in real estate. These are just average people who had saved some money up and were looking for a diversification and all that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how did you get started? Was it in homes, you know, and then kind of expanded to apartment complexes and other properties like that? Or,
you know, while I was actively trying to get into real estate and not knowing what I was doing, most of it was all single family homes. And once I finally, got to the point where I got my partner and we were able to get the one apartment building, that one was one building of 20 units. And that's when I started feeling and started getting in my zone. And from there, I stuck with those. The next building was another 8-unit just right down the street. But during some of my growth period, and I call it my expensive tuition, it was a lot of single family homes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think you find in the end that 20 units is a hell of a lot easier than managing a single unit for sure.
Yeah, they all have their challenges, but it's nice to have 20 under one roof. It really is.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and efficiency, and you can hire a management team and everything else. So for somebody that's starting out today, they're not where you are today.
Sure.
What would you recommend? You know, and what advice do you give through your courses and books and things like that? How does somebody get started?
Well, you know, it depends really on their situation, but let's just talk generally here. And it's funny you had mentioned, like, when I did that 8-unit, I hadn't been part of Facebook. I hadn't been part of any groups. I hadn't been part of anything. But my first advice to somebody would be to get part of those groups. Right now, if you're interested in getting into real estate, start looking at your local, their REIA, that's Real Estate Investors Associations. You can find them on Facebook, but get active, start introducing yourself, start meeting people, because opportunities are going to, present themselves to you. Lenders are going to be there. You can get to meet. And so the pieces that you're really looking for are going to start appearing in those groups.
Love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you gave a really good example of how to approach somebody about that. Just have conversations with people and then throw it out there, you know, at the time. Did you, you know, those people, when you sent it out, I mean, was it what came out of those conversations that kind of triggered you to say, hey, maybe this person might be interested? Or
no, I just knew they seemed successful in their lives. And so, you know, I didn't feel I was asking for a lot, you know, from them. I thought, you know, the level they are in their life, maybe, you know, I was looking for $100,000 for my first investor. And so all three of them came back, and, you know, I was just coaching somebody yesterday about doing this exact thing. And I told them, when you send out that text, because I told them, you know, people, you interact with them. You know, I was getting my eyeglasses made one day, and I was talking to the optometrist, telling her about what I'm doing. And she said, oh, you know, my husband and I, we tried to invest with some people. It didn't work out. So it's really anybody you're interacting with. But what I coached him to do was, when you send out that text or when you do initiate that conversation, use the words, would you be interested in learning more about investing in this in this project with me? Because that right there signifies that you're asking for money.
Yeah.
You can say, do you want to partner with me? Would you be interested in going? That doesn't say it as clearly as, would you be interested in learning more about investing in this with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a little tweak to the language, but I think it's an incredibly important tweak, because if they're not, you know, if they don't feel comfortable doing it, or, you know, or if they don't even have the money to do it, you give them an out at that point. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's not, you know, I always think of those, you know, the people that do multi-level marketing, the way they used to teach it, you know, hey, why don't you come to this event and we'll talk about stuff. Okay. Well, it's just, you're going to hit me up with another MLM deal or whatever.
Yeah.
Just lay it out. Tell me what it is. And if I'm interested, I'm interested. Otherwise, you waste your time with a lot of people you don't need to.
Exactly.
So how do you recommend? So you're working with people, right? Get out there, get involved in the real estate groups. How do you recommend somebody find their first deal? And then how do they structure that? you know, and once again, this is hypothetical, but
of course. And again, it depends on people's individual situation. So if you're somebody who's like, was in the position that I was in, you know, I faced evictions. I had a period where I my utilities got shut off and I couldn't get caught up, so they wouldn't turn them on. And so I lived in a house without utilities for a while until I could move to get them on. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Or there's somebody that I'm working with, they're doing okay. And they've put a little money together. And, you know, so it depends on your situation. But depending on that, someone I'm working with right now, he was in a situation that I used to be in. Never thought he would be a property owner. I just helped him find seller finance. And he found a triplex, which one unit was empty, which he ended up moving into. The two units downstairs were enough to pay the note from the seller. So he got into that. The two units are paying it. He's living there for free. So that worked for his situation. Yeah. You know, so, and then the person I was coaching yesterday, he actually has some money to put in. So I have him looking and he's joined the local REIAs. They're important because there's wholesalers on there. There's people offering off-market deals. You're going to find all kinds of stuff once you start getting active. And so he's connected with a group that's giving him off-market opportunities. So he's finding good opportunities, and we're trying to land him on one right now. So just really depends on the situation.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, and then it, you kind of step up from maybe the individual properties to like a you know, quadplex or something like that, or into an apartment complex. What does that transition look like? Because it is different from just managing like single proper single family homes.
Well, you know, it's nicer to some once you start looking at the 8 units, you know, four unit plus. I think it starts at five units plus, because now those properties, they won't look at you personally so much about if you can afford the payment. They're going to look at the property now, and does the property generate enough cash flow that it'll be able to cover the payment? So they stop looking at you so much personally and now start looking at your project. So, you know, when I went with the 20 unit, I went with an 8 unit, and they went based on the income of those properties. And so, you know, that helps people, because a lot of people are like, well, I don't, you know, how can I take on another note? And, you know, I wouldn't qualify, but that's not really the case. You know, they look at those, once you start getting into 5 units plus, they start looking at the property itself about if that can cover the payments or not.
Well, and I think at that point, my guess would be that's where you start learning a little bit more about how to actually structure the deal, how to show what the cash flow is, what are you going to do to rehab it and improve the profitability and everything, correct?
Sure. Yeah. The go ahead, please.
Yeah. No, where did you learn to do that? Because, I mean, that's a whole nother step in the process, especially if you don't come from a real estate background.
Exactly. No. And it came through trial and error with me learning as I went. You know, I got my first no money property in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've been actively losing money doing deals, you know, just buying the wrong properties, not knowing what I'm doing, you know, from the mid 90s all the way up, you know. And I had one property just because I wasn't experienced enough, didn't know what to do with it. But if I had it today, oh man, it would have been everything I knew that it was, and I could get it done today. But then I just didn't know how. And that one, you know, I ended up losing a lot of money on. I bought that one. I couldn't get the bank to stand behind me what I needed. I didn't know how to do it. And so that one I ended up losing on. You know, I had to sell that for a loss. But when I did that, when the realtor, I asked to sell it, he said to me, he said, "Dave, you know the money is made when you buy, right?" And I understood what he was saying. I said, I get it. So, you know, I learned along the way. And what you had mentioned, that presentation, that is so important. And I offer that on my website. I have tools and different things that is offered on my website, that those are important. The presentation to investors, the presentation to the bank, those are important. And so, you know, I've learned to dial it in.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I mean you're talking different language with cap rates and everything else.
Yeah,
you know it is a different language that you need to speak, and you've got to learn the terminology. So
yeah, definitely
it pays to get out there and learn a little bit. And you're kind of at least a one stop shop with a lot of experience on the, you know, getting there and figuring it out.
Sure.
So someone, you know, is this something that, if I have $0 at all, no credit, not very much knowledge, is this something that I can realistically get going relatively quick?
You know, you're not excluded, that's for sure. Yeah. You can get involved, but you know, it's not, if it was super easy, everybody would do it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Is it doable? Yes. It is doable, but again, you have to be determined. There's, you know, another key word is perseverance. You know, so you have to be able to, you know, stick through these things. But just because you don't have the down payment, just because your credit's not perfect, doesn't exclude you, which I thought most of my life that it did. You know, I wasted, you know, 20, 30 years trying to get those pieces right before I thought I could become a real estate investor, but it doesn't need to be. The guy that I just got to help get a triplex, his credit was horrible. His taxes weren't up to date. He didn't have a down payment. Now he's an owner of a triplex and he's already looking at his second property. So it is doable.
Yeah. Well, and he's also limited, or he's eliminated his rent
exactly
that he would normally have. And
exactly.
Has the property that he's living in is taking care of that for him, and he's building equity every month, which is amazing. What do you see is, you know, I mean, it's kind of a weird real estate market right now. What do you kind of project as we roll into 2026 at this point?
Well, you know, every market's different. And that's one thing you're going to find, these dips, these, you know, these booms, these busts, a lot of them are really market specific. And so fortunately for me, where I'm at, my market, it's kind of, it doesn't really spike up, doesn't really dip down. It's just kind of an even, you know, path, which is nice. But even in those markets, even in those areas, you know, the Californias, the Floridas or whatever, there's still areas outside that performs differently than other areas. So I'm a firm believer. And there was a book that I read that helped change me. And it's called The Science of Getting Rich. It was a free book online. It was from the early 1900s, around 1905 or something. Author's name, Wallace Wattles, and The Science of Getting Rich. And it's really not so much about monetary riches, but that does, you know, end up like coming, but it's more about life enrichment. And it taught me in there, there's two mindsets. There's a competitive mindset and a creative mindset. And being part of the creative mindset, you know, you just know you're pretty much going to create what you're after. And you don't really worry so much about, you know, that there's not enough pieces in the pie or it's going to be. So I don't really have that competitive mindset anymore. And so ever since I aligned myself with this other way of thinking, it's really changed my course. It's really done a lot.
Love it. Love it. Well, let's transition over to the fast five questions now.
Okay.
First question, you woke up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, a place to live, food and clothing. What are you going to do first?
Well, thank God you gave me the laptop. The first thing I'm going to do, and I just did a video on this as well. If I started from zero today, you're giving me 500, which is a nice help. But if I started from zero today, what would be the first things I did? And the very first thing I would do is get part of the real estate groups, introducing myself, let people know, you know, this is what I want to do. And, you know, and they'll help you. The second thing I would do after that, I'd find lenders that are lending on deals that I'm looking for. And then the third thing, and when I find those lenders, I talk to them very bluntly saying, what do I need? How do I need to present it to you? What do you need from me? So you'll fund the deal. So now I'm meeting people that's going to show me deals. I'm finding the lenders that's going to lend them. And then the third thing I would do is start getting active in my local chambers, meetup groups, rotary clubs, any of these where you're finding business people who want to invest in real estate. They just don't have the time to be able to be in real estate. And those are your three main pieces.
Love it. Love it. What's the biggest business mistake you ever made?
I mean, financially, was that one I told you about that I lost a lot of money on? I guess a good answer to that would be a partner. Yeah. You know, you gotta, you know, when you get in business with somebody and you take on partners, you got to understand that, you know, it's like a marriage, you know, you're living with them, you're, you know, working day to day, and disagreements in a marriage can be, you know, disastrous, but disagreements in business can really be disastrous, and you can have everything riding on it. And so, you know, be careful with your partners.
Yeah. The scary thing is when it's easier to get a divorce than it is to disconnect from a partner in those cases. So I can relate to many, many times. I already told my attorney that no more partners ever. He has the right to punch me in the face. So
one of my very first intro to partners, there were three of us, and we went to the law office to get something structured. And he said, "You three are friends?" And we said, "Yeah." He said, "I will be amazed if when this is over, you three are friends." And we're not friends. You know, that drifted, that broke up, you know, pretty quickly. And it does, it gets bitter. And so he knew it. So I would say that's something to be careful of.
Been there, done that many a time, I'm sure. Yeah. So, what's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
Well, I've recommended the one, The Science of Getting Rich. I think, you know, matter of fact, I used to hand it out to people when people would come and talk to me, this and that. I said, "Here, read this. It's amazing. It really helped change my mindset into the creative mindset." And so I'm being redundant here. I'm mentioning it again, but that's the one I even would give out to someone.
That's awesome. I'll try and find a link to that and put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
AI.
Okay.
AI. Yeah, you feel not using
that in the real estate world?
You know, I use it for all kinds of stuff. When I'm drawing up notices to give to my tenants, I go through AI. Mm-hmm. AI writes them up. When I want to look over a contract real quickly, I will send it into AI and tell it to look at it from like the buyer's perspective or the seller's perspective. Tell me if it's heavy-handed, point out some areas to really help, you know. So I utilize AI for a lot.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had anybody on in the real estate world, so it was kind of to talk about AI. So it's interesting to hear your take on it. Yeah. And I use it very much the same way. I mean, a lot of times if I'm given a contract, I'll have it kind of, okay, give me the pluses and minuses. Where's the gotchas in there that the attorney thinks that they're going to, you know, slide past me or whatever. And, you know, it's usually really good at catching all that stuff and bringing it up.
I use it to even sometimes give me some ideas of when I want to structure and pitch something to an investor or whatnot. I feed it all that. And I'm like, give me some ideas of what's mutually beneficial to both sides and something creative, because I do a lot of creative, you know, structures, and AI will help give some ideas, you know, work with.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny the other day. I was kind of sort of off the topic, but, you know, of course, I'm in the wealth management space, and I was looking at an option strategy, and I was like, you know what, I could do the technical analysis myself.
Yeah.
But I went in to Grok, and I kind of gave it its parameters, and it punched out the most perfect, you know, scenario for me. It's phenomenal. And of course, it always starts off with, "Now, this isn't advice or anything, and I'm not an advisor," but it was some of the best advice, and I was able to kind of tweak it a little bit. But I think from a creative standpoint, sometimes it's just nice to go. It's almost like having a sounding board in a lot of cases that you can work off of.
Yeah, definitely.
Last question. What is your definition of freedom?
You know, the more I I talk about this. It seems like it's cliche, but it's, you know, your time. It really is, you know, it really is. One of the things that I was faced when I was working, and I was a single parent, I have, you know, a son, and we were out in California. We didn't have any family, and he had really rehearsed and practiced so much. He was part of this school activity and he wanted me to be there. And he really, really meant a lot for me to be there. And he, you know, he asked me, you know, are you going to make it? And I said, I'm trying, you know, I'm trying. Yes. And I went to my boss. I tried to get the time off, and the boss, you know, made, I faced either lose my job and go or keep my job and miss it. And I had to keep my job. You know, I was a single parent. I couldn't. And so I couldn't be there for him. And now, you know, he's grown now. He's older. So I'm not faced with this any longer. But now with what I'm doing, nobody's going to tell me that I can't be part of my son's events or be with my family. Or what if it's somebody that's sick or ill and you're faced with either going to be with them or losing your job? So, you know, that's what freedom is. Freedom is your time and being able to, you know, be where you want, when you want.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that, you know, that it's the one that I tell people, you know, financial freedom is one thing. When you say freedom, that's what everybody goes to, you know, oh, I want financial freedom and be able to do this and that. Sure. But I agree with you. I mean, the very first freedom that I experienced was, you know, unbolting myself from a job working for somebody else.
Yeah.
And being able to work for myself. Yes. Did I have the financial freedom? That took another 8 years to get to that point, but I still had my freedom to go and do what I wanted to when I needed to.
Exactly.
At that point.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, David, if somebody's interested in learning a little bit more about you, they're interested in engaging you to help them, you know, kind of get through the process, where's the best place to go?
Well, you can Google No Money Millionaire. You're going to find me. But right now, for any of your listeners, if you go to nomoneymillionaire.com, you'll be able to download my book for free as a digital download. And so for a limited time, we're offering this. And, you know, everything I do, everything I use, a lot of my actual examples of properties I purchased is all in there. And so right now, while it's available for free, I wouldn't pass it up because it's a lot of great information. And so nomoneymillionaire.com and Google No Money Millionaire, you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure we put that in the show notes so that people can go there. Just click directly on it and it will take you there. You had nothing to lose. Download the book, learn whatever you can. And I'm sure there's contact information if there's, you know, more that people want to learn from there.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, David, thank you for being on the show today. I appreciate it. Folks, make sure that you subscribe to the channel. And if you can, give us an upvote when you have a chance or a 5-star rating, because that's how it gets us in front of more and more people and we can help. So I hope you enjoyed this. We bring these to you for that very purpose, to help you get out of where you're at right now and get you into Freedom Day. So thanks a lot. And we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.